Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. When I say that, every time we have a guest, there is always a connection between the material that they have done and the fact that thought has to precede it before it's put into print on a page. We're going to be talking about a wonderful publication, Kiss of a Dolphin, and it's by Tom Tuohy, who is the founder of Dreams for Kids. And we have him on the phone line. He is in Florida. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for having me.
It is such a delight to be able to get material like I have in front of me right now, Kiss of a Dolphin, and to be able to share your journey through the written word. And it's such a delight for me to be able to also share it with other people. Now, I want my audience to know that you're the president and founder of Dreams for Kids. You serve on the board of directors for Clara's House Shelter, West Inglewood United Organization, the Jesse White Tumbling Team, and Give a Computer Incorporated. And you were the founding member of the DePaul University Mentor Advisory Board. Now, what's so interesting is that you're an attorney. And you're one of the few attorneys in the United States to have received the highest rating for legal ability and ethical standards, as determined by Martindale Hubbell, which has done ratings of this kind for over 100 in 38 years. What an accomplishment. You've also been a Special Assistant Attorney General of Illinois and founded your own law firm in 1982. You've worked with all kinds of people to provide legal services, but you, in 2000, were selected as Citizen of the Year by the Illinois Crime Commission, and you were also chosen as the Emerald Society Person of the Year in 1989. You have such an eclectic background. How in the world did you ever connect with dolphins?
That's a great way to start. I did it one of those magical encounters, and with most people, when they are in the presence of a dolphin, it becomes that. And ours was a chance encounter, just a chance encounter midway through the history of our organization. We met a young man by the name of J.J. O'Connor, who was 15 years old when he was in a hockey accident, and he hit the boards head first and never felt himself hit the ice. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And he was a quadriplegic and is today at 28 years old. But when he was 21, J.J. asked me to go to spring break with him. Now, as you went through my my bio, you can imagine I was a little past spring break. So I promptly said no. And he said, no, really, it's in Mexico. And I said, well, definitely not. And he said, nah. And he said, really? He said, I can't. He says, you know, my best friend, Dick Merrick, is, you know, he's coming, you know, and we really need the help because it's in a foreign country. You've been there. And it's very difficult to live with a condition of quadriplegia. It's very, very difficult for a young person, of course, to adapt and to be a part of the mainstream. And I knew all those things. And it was really hard to turn him down whenever he asked for help. So I said, okay, let's do it. And it was in that trip when Dick Merrick and I decided before we left town that we would make that spring break the best spring break that J.J. could ever imagine. We'd make sure that he was just like any other kid. If he was involved in every activity that they did, if we were swimming in the pool, we'd wedge him in an inner tube and push him out in the middle of the pool. We'd come out early to the pool chairs and lay him out and hide the wheelchair, so that when any of the kids came down, they could see him for who he was and not have to look past the wheelchair, which oftentimes is a big challenge. And we took him to every activity they had. And towards the end of the trip, and he became really a magnet for all the kids on spring break, and he had the time of his life. And towards the end of the trip, I said, Jay, would you like to swim with the dolphins? I was looking through a pamphlet, and he looked at me and he says, I don't know, that sounds interesting. And that's where it started. We went to a facility to swim with the dolphins, and it was one of the most magical encounters that I could ever imagine happening in all of our lives.
Now, here you are with this situation with the dolphins, and J.J. is such an incredible person.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, when someone is a quadriplegic, it is unimaginable to anyone. And I have had the privilege of knowing some people who are quadriplegics, and I've had nothing but tremendous appreciation and admiration for them, because if I tried to put myself in their shoes, I wonder if I would have that kind of courage, if I would have that optimism, if I would have that stick-to-itiveness that they have, because they're totally dependent. They have no way of taking care of themselves at all, but their minds, their feelings, their emotions, their perceptions are just as acute as yours and mine. That doesn't go away. That hasn't disappeared. They're not brain dead.
That's absolutely true. You know, they are, as he tries to impress upon everyone, which is really became so much of the spirit of where our organization went after meeting him. He says, I'm the same as you. I'm just sitting down. You know, they'll look at us and say, but don't make me get up.
I want to back up just a little bit, Tom, because when you met JJ, you were you had been with your organization, Dreams for Kids. You had been working with us. This was very important to you. What started Dreams for Kids?
My mother.
Your mother did?
Absolutely. My mother's suggestion at a time when it was actually the Emerald Society Person of the Year, and I was a young lawyer and really not feeling as if I deserved to be honored for anything. But what I had done at that point in my life, as I had achieved the dream that I had set out for myself to become an attorney. And it was difficult for my mother. She was a single parent and raised us alone, and for my two brothers and sister and myself. And there's some very, very difficult times. And at that event with all of my friends and family there, my mother said that I had the opportunity and I had achieved my dream. And she said how proud she was of me, but that it was time now to help other kids achieve theirs. And that next morning, I woke up and thought of the name Dreams for Kids.
Now, what year was that when you started Dreams for Kids?
1989.
All right. Now, we're moving forward to the episode with JJ and the Dolphins. What year was that?
That was 21. So it was the year 2000.
Year 2000. You give some very interesting information about dolphins. You say, if ever anyone has an opportunity to swim with dolphins, you recommend it highly because there's been research done on this. 80% of people who swim with dolphins experience a change in brainwave patterns from beta to theta states of consciousness. And that's why so many people that do this have a state of bliss, ecstasy, deep peace, and a sense of well-being. And I'm taking that right from your book. Now, you didn't know that when you took JJ out into this pool. Tell us what you had to do, because he is a quadriplegic. How did you and Dick manipulate him, because he can't move his body? Water gives a buoyancy, which is great. But how did you manage to get him into the pool, and how did you manage with the dolphins? Tell us what the experience was. It makes for fascinating reading.
Well, thank you very much. And it was so fascinating for us, because what had happened is we were in a room with headsets on. And as we're listening to them give us a tutorial on dolphins, as you mentioned, Donna, I had never... other than being fascinated by them from afar, had no idea how beautiful and how magical they could possibly be and how spiritual they are. It was just an amazing encounter. but I went into it with very, very little knowledge. And they do prep you, and we're listening, and they're telling us that dolphins have an energy field. They have a sonar, which is four times more powerful than an MRI.
Wow.
They literally see through us, but in a way that it understands, they are able to understand our physiology. They're able to understand whether we're fearful, whether we're angry, whether we're aggressive, whether we're hurt. And when we're listening to all of that, and we're listening to the dolphins communicate with one another in these headsets, I was a little suspect at that point because I had never experienced any of it. And I really wondered how they would know that, and how would they know that the dolphins are actually communicating, and certainly how would they know that the dolphins instinctively and by the use of the sonar would understand whether we're different and whether we're hurt and whether we need assistance. And we left that room, and we took JJ in his wheelchair to the edge of the pool, and there were 15 people that day that surrounded the perimeter of the pool standing in the water. And we brought Jay into the water and held his arm on either side so that he could stand upright with everyone else. And they told us that the dolphin would come in the far side of the pool and would sweep the perimeter of the pool very quickly. And we were on the near side. And that when the dolphin swept the pool, she would be using her sonar to assess everyone to know whether, for herself, whether she was safe and whether she could be comfortable in the pool. And so she came into the pool and did just that. And she swam in a circle, but then she stopped right in front of JJ.
Amazing.
It's amazing. She got very anxious, very nervous. And she went to the left and the right. Then she got closer to him and hit his legs with her fins. And they didn't move. And then she got very, very anxious. And Jace turned to me and said, "Just take me out of the pool. I don't want to ruin it for everyone else." And really, that's what life has become to that point, that when we would go into a party, and it happened the first few times when we went into a bar where all of young people his age were, they saw the wheelchair in somebody their age. And like most of us, not accustomed to communicating with somebody in a wheelchair, we look away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught not to stare. And Jay told me one time, he says, "You know what? I'm okay with being the way I am." He says, "This is what happened to me." He says, "But what's really tough about this is that I spend my entire life waking hours sitting down, and everyone else is standing up. So I spend my whole day looking up, but not too many people ever look down."
Mm-hmm. Those are very profound words.
Mm. So it's that sense of isolation that you could just feel when he says it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me once, he said, "Just think about it. If you walked into a room and everybody turned their head the other way, and if you walked down the street and before they got to you, they looked the other way."
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel all day long.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all of us can relate to that. The dolphin experience with JJ was so phenomenal to me because the female dolphin was agitated and then another dolphin came into the water and it was the male.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about how he went over and made an assessment and then he and the female go to the other side of the pool. There are these two dolphins and they're kibitzing back and forth.
That's right.
And JJ didn't want to stay there. He said, "Take me out of the water because I'm going to ruin it for everybody." He was feeling so concerned. But I want you to share with my audience what happened after these two dolphins go over to the other side of the pool. The trainer tells you to keep JJ in the water because those dolphins are communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
What happened then?
Well, he said, stay in the pool because we wanted to leave. And he said, "Stay in the pool because I think she's just nervous." And her boyfriend, who had just come into the pool, as you said, and who had swept the pool and stayed, he stopped right in front of JJ too. But he wasn't anxious or nervous. He just studied them. And then, as you said, he went to the other side of the pool and started communicating with the female. And then he said, no, just stay in the pool because I think that it'll be okay after her boyfriend calms her down. And so we did. And then the female went to the middle of the pool alone. And she was completely calm out in the middle of the pool by herself. And the trainer said, why don't you bring your friend to the middle of the pool? And that's when I handed Jay to Dick, and he held him from behind, and he brought him to the middle of the pool. And he's right in front of the female. And then she just stayed there calmly and studied him. And then all of a sudden just rose out of the water, opened her fins and leaned in, hugged him, and kissed him.
Amazing. With JJ, how did that affect him? The likelihood of a dolphin coming up to you, hugging you with its fins, and then kissing you.
Jay said,
a billion to one. I mean, how did this affect JJ?
He said it was the most amazing thing that ever happened to him since he got hurt. He said, because the way my life has become, so many people are anxious and uncomfortable around me. He says, and one dolphin, just like one person, can help those that are uncomfortable to understand. And that's what he did for her. And then she accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best my life can be.
Well, it's an awesome statement about, and you say this in your book, about how one person, this dolphin, affected JJ tremendously. But if you relate that to interacting with other people, the kindness and thoughtfulness of someone going to an individual who has been injured, talking to them, communicating with them, realizing that though the body, because of an accident, isn't working right, doesn't mean that they aren't hungry for conversation and interaction with people. They want to be social too. And it's not something that's easy to get used to. But I'll tell you, I was so impressed with JJ because you guys then took him to do parasailing. And that's just, I was just chuckling through reading that. You've got to tell about that experience.
Thank you, Donna. Very few people ask about that because they get caught so much in the dolphins. But it's what happens to our lives afterwards when someone reaches out to us like that. You know, our programs have become the Dolphin Spirit programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as evidence of what one person can do if they reach out to another in a moment of grace. You can truly change their life and empower that person and change the course and direction of their entire life. And sometimes in just one incident like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just don't know when someone, and it could be a kid, and our motto is changing lives one kid at a time. And what people embrace is that it can happen in a conversation. Someone could be ready to be listened to. Someone could be ready to have assistance. And you could change their lives. And JJ, the next day, he woke up, and it was so profound. We'd been joking the whole week long about going parasailing. At least I was joking. I mean, he wanted no part of it. And he said, I'm in bad enough shape already. And we'd look outside our window, and that's where the boats were. And if you've ever been to Mexico and seen how they parasail, it's not the most encouraging sight. You know, it's kind of rickety boats.
Yeah, right. It's about as interesting. You go, oh, sure. Oh, this is something I've waited to do all my life. Thank you very much.
So he woke up, and the minute he opened his eyes, he said, let's go parasailing.
What a turnaround.
Let's go. We went right down to the beach, and they put the life jacket on him, and they put, you know, over the life jacket or the stirrups for the cables and, you know, everything that needs to be hooked up to this actual parasail that's going to be pulled from his wheelchair out of the sand across the ocean and above the hotels.
Mm.
So he's sitting there all rigged up, and he's watching people come back down. I remember, I'll never forget, he looks at me and he said, I don't think this was a good idea.
Surprise!
And I said, you know, it was a good idea because it was your idea. And they said, all right. And so Dick and I, of course, had it all figured out. You know, we're going to make it great because you're supposed to sit back. You're supposed to sit back when the parachute pulls you off the sand. You sit back, so therefore you're in a sitting position, and it would be comfortable. Well, we had to figure, he can't do that, so we'll just hold him sitting, and then we'll run when the boat takes off. We'll run as the cable pulls the parachute. So as we're figuring all this out, we're going to, you know, pick up his legs, the boat takes off,
mm-hmm.
and pull him right out of our arms. He goes down in the sand, and as he said later, like a backhoe, you know, straight in the sand, straight out to the water. And then the boat get a little further away, and the cable started bringing him up, and then his legs were skipping in the water, and he started to go up, and we were frozen. And at that point, I mean, had anything happened, there was nothing he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to get out in the water, and also we, you know, Dick looked at me and he said, oh, he makes it back, he's going to kill us.
Right.
But he made it back. You know, he took off, and it was absolutely majestic to see. It wasn't too comfortable, as he said later, because he wasn't sitting back at all. You know, he kept slipping down a little bit, and as he said, he had the worst wedgie of his life. And as he was sailing around, to see him up there and to imagine what it was like for him to be looking down and to be looked down at his empty wheelchair and to see all of us looking up at him, it was just awe-inspiring to be there in the sand. And when he came down, we had to get that part right. We caught him. And when we caught him, a woman came running between us and she had tears running down her face. And she said, you are beautiful. Was it scary up there for you? And he looked at her and he said, no, ma'am, it's scary down here.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, I was free.
What an amazing series of experiences. Now, I want to move forward to Jesse White.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with this man. I was not aware of him as an individual and of his major accomplishments. How did you and Jesse White get together? Because you're involved in his tumbling group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was 19 years old, and I was in college, and I had gotten a head start on my dream. I wanted to make sure that I could get into law school and be prepared for it. And so as a freshman in college, I started as a law clerk. And I kind of talked my way into a law firm, and a few years later, a year later, I was in that very law firm when Jesse White, who from Chicago I knew because I knew he had started this amazing tumbling team from the projects of Chicago's Cabrini Green, some of the most infamous projects in the world. And he had started a tumbling team, kids so they wouldn't have to be jumping off of mattresses in the parking lot, and so that they can stay out of trouble. And that so that there'd be another gang that wore red, as he says. And so that he can inspire and empower them, which he has done. His organization has grown into a scholarship program, a scholars program, the Jesse White Scholars. And what his intent was to provide them with recreation and discipline and to provide them with an opportunity to move past the situation that they were in, to go to secondary education and to live the life of their dreams. And he started out as a Chicago Cubs baseball player and just in the minor leagues. And he taught when he had the opportunity to kind of make ends meet. And then he became a full-time teacher when the Cubs, after 6 years, that didn't work out. And he became, in the 60s, a full-time teacher. And the Jesse White Tumbling Team, which became a one-time event, which turned into every year a commitment that he just kept keeping because the parents asked him to. The parents said, you have to keep this. It means everything to our children. Well, now today, it's approaching 50 years. It's 46 years that he has had the Jesse White Tumbling Team, and he has brought over 14,000 kids from the projects through his program and onto a better life.
I love the statement that he made because he really has high standards. And those kids, he doesn't take any nonsense from anybody. and he's very dedicated to them. And he said, if any of my kids mess up, they'll sooner turn themselves into the police than deal with me. And I just had to chuckle because I think so many times that people intellectualize so much about kids. And one of the things that they need to remember is that kids want to know that there are standards, and they want to know that the adults that are around them believe in them to support them and expect them to perform. And he does that.
Oh, yeah. It's tough love, as he's called it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough love, and he doesn't care whether anybody likes his method. That's the way it is. But the kids respond.
Oh, they do.
They really, really do.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable. It's remarkable to see, and I've seen it for so long now, and 31 years, and it's been remarkable to witness and to be a part of. And when the kids, Mr. White, you know, you can't get lower than a C. There's no smoking, there's no drinking, there's no drugs, and all of those offenses, including, as he says, playing the race card. He's African American, and he said any of his kids ever use as an excuse or use anything in a racial way towards another race, color, creed, religion, any type of prejudice, it's the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they will never be on the Jesse White tumbling team again. I will help them get on with their life, but they're off the team, and that's permanent.
Well,
the race card, the ugliest card.
I wish it could be enforced with some adults, because I think it would make a big difference in this world. I know we don't have a lot of time left. I love your story about Carmen and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I just think this is so touching. One, it shows the power of reaching out by Carmen, and the fact that Michael Jordan is such a fine human being that he responded to her the way he did. Tell us a little bit about Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen was born with cerebral palsy, and she has had over 30 operations in her young life. And at that point, she was in high school when she met Michael, and she watched every game like many of us did, and never got a chance to go to the stadium, the old Chicago Stadium. Finally, her parents saved up enough money so she could go, and she decided it was on Valentine's Day that she would make Michael a Valentine's Day card. So she made this huge Valentine's Day card, and the accessible area is down near the court. So her father was with her, and he dared her to give it to him. And of course, he didn't pay any attention to anybody when he was warming up or playing or anything else, because they have legendary focus. And so she asked the security guard if he could give this to Michael. And for whatever reason, again, it's that one person that reaches out and ends up changing the life. He could have said no. And he said, Michael, this girl would like to give you this. And he turned around and came off the court. And he said, is that for me? And he took the card. And she was speechless. Of course, didn't say a word. She said, I was so amazed that words didn't come out of my mouth. And so she watched the game, and she couldn't believe that he took her card. And every game she watched on television became so much more important. Couldn't stop telling her friends. And about a month later, she's at the car show at the McCormick Place, and Michael Jordan is speaking. And he comes down and walks up to her and says, where have you been? And he goes, I couldn't believe that Michael Jordan remembered me, so I couldn't speak. And my friend that was with me said, well, she hasn't had a chance to go to any games because, you know, she can't afford it. He writes down his personal cell phone number, and he said, call. He said, I want you to call this other number. So he called the other number, and it was the office. And there were tickets available for her. And she went to two games and didn't go again. And then went to a game the next year, and he walked up to her and said, where have you been? I've been looking all over for you. And she says, he's never heard me speak before. If I don't open my mouth now, I think I can't talk at all. And he says, well, I'm sorry. I just couldn't take the tickets every year. I just felt bad. He says, well, I feel bad when you're not here.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And they ended up giving season tickets. She got a knock on the door, and she got a card in the mail. and it said, it just doesn't feel right when you're not at the game. I can't wait to see you at the next game and every one of my games. Your friend, Michael. And there were season tickets for them to every single game for the rest of his career. And when she got there, she couldn't find her seats. And the security guard smiled and brought her to the last seat on the bench, and she sat. Her wheelchair was right next to the last seat on the bench, is where Michael sat. She sat next to him for his entire career.
Well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Kiss of a Dolphin is a book that is a must-read. And, Tom, you must give out your website. We're out of time. You must give out your website so people can go find out more about your wonderful organization. And they've got to get your book, Kiss of a Dolphin, to find out about the people, the other people, Father Wally, so many other wonderful individuals in here that you have honored and that deserve it. And that tell a story about the real stuff of life that makes life so very, very special and very magical. What's your website?
Thank you so much. The website is www.dreamsforkids. It's dreamsforkids, F-O-R-kids.org, O-R-G. It's www.dreamsforkids.org. They can call a toll-free number, 1-866-729-5454.
All right, I'll do that again. Dreamsforkids.org. All of my listeners are very web savvy. Dreamsforkids.org. Toll-free number for more information, 866-729-5454. Kiss of a Dolphin. It will touch your heart. It will touch your mind. It will inspire you to reach for your dreams. Tom Dewey, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Donna, thank you. It's been an honor.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Inspirational and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com. and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and again, don't forget, write down this website, dreamsforkids.org, dreamsforkids.org, and Kiss of a Dolphin. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful. It's one of the things I love about doing this show. It is wonderful to know about all of these people that each in their own way are making a difference. And no one is insignificant. No one is insignificant. And when you read stories like this, when you hear about them, it should inspire you to just appreciate where you are, what you are, and that you may have a magic that's going to touch somebody's life in a very, very special way. And that's why I just absolutely delight doing this program. Now, Speaking of delight, one of my greatest pleasures is doing readings for people on the air. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And those lines are open, and when you call in, if you're a first-time listener, just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And after that, let me do my thing, and then you'll be able to ask me a question about anything that you would like to have some insight on. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let me see. Is there someone on the line with me already?
Yes, hi.
Hi. You're going to need to speak up, dear. Your name again, please?
Barbara from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Barbara. Is it getting a little bit cooler, or is it still nice and balmy in the 70s?
Actually, it is getting a little cooler. It is. The temperatures are dropping.
Well, we have had a windstorm of windstorms. I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest, and there's like 60-mile-an-hour winds, and anything that's left on the trees is really going to have a hard time because almost all the leaves are gone, the dead leaves. They are just about gone. But that's what happens this time of the year, those, well, November winds, we call them. Okay, so let's get down to business with you, Barbara. First of all, I am seeing something that's perplexing me, and it is perplexing me because it doesn't make sense. I'm looking at what I'd perceive as an upset stomach with you, and I'm surprised because I'm not seeing you doing anything out of the norm. I want you to pay attention to your body. There may be something that you will have picked up, and I want you to not push yourself too hard because you have a very intense schedule. And so listen to what your body's telling you. If your system is with this upset, pay attention to what's going on. Do not ignore it because I think you're going to be one sick cookie if you do. So be aware. Also, be in the habit of carrying some antibacterial wipes with you, and I suggest you can get them in little packets, and I would just suggest whenever you're going to be around a lot of people, try to remember to periodically just take one out and wipe your hands with it if you're doing a lot of hand shaking, and I think that's going to keep you from picking up a bug of some kind. So if this is just in an environment where there's a lot of people, there's a lot of interaction, and just sort of tuck that in the back of your head. So be aware. Take care of yourself. You don't want to get run down where you're going to pick up something and then be stuck in bed for a week and a half. That's not fun. Nobody ever wants to get there. So pay attention to what your body tells you. Also, I think you're going to have some work done on a vehicle. There is a sound, and it's as if I'm sitting in a car that you're driving, and it seems to be on the right side of the engine. It's as if, though I'm driving, I'm hearing it coming from the passenger side of the vehicle. And I think that there is a sound transmission. There is a part that is wearing, and there is this tiny, tiny pitch, high-pitched sound that I am hearing. And I listen to that, and it's very, very faint, and it comes and goes. There is a part that is wearing that could cause actually some pretty major damage to the engine. Listen, pay attention. I know you like to listen to CDs, etc., when you're driving, but pay attention. Take time to listen to the sounds of your automobile when you're on the road. No radio on, nothing. And if you hear that tone, I want you to take it to a mechanic and have it checked because it needs some work. Do you have some questions for me?
I have two cars. I have a new car and an older car. Do you pick that up as the older car?
Which one is the lighter color?
The new car is white.
All right. It might be the new car.
Okay.
Might be the new car. What make and model is it?
It's a 06 Nissan Sentra.
Okay. So just listen to the sound. You'll know. You'll know when you hear a particular high-pitched sound that'll come and go, come and go.
Okay.
And it won't be costly for you to repair the car if you do it when the sound is coming up at the beginning. It will be costly if you wait until the breakdown occurs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I took it to a mechanic to have it checked out.
Well, just pay attention. It's a good car. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
In the sense of it being a bad car. I don't think you've got a lemon. But let's face it, cars have parts that wear out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even with new cars. I mean, things can happen with new cars. So if you've got a new car, and if you hear this, then take it in. It's under warranty.
Yeah, it has a lot of warranty coverage.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you want to do. You don't want to wait until it becomes a major problem.
Okay. Do you see my finances being solid from now until at the end of this year?
I'm looking at a stable patterning with your finances. I'm not really concerned about your finances when you ask. I think good common sense will go a long way. I don't see you doing, you know, a whole bunch of expenditures, even with the holiday season that's coming up. I don't see you doing that. I'm seeing you being fairly prudent with your dollars, and I think you're going to do very well.
Well, thank you.
So it's going to be solid. It's going to be consistent.
Thank you.
But again, there's no high-end spending here.
There never is.
Well, the fact is, that's not really what you want.
Right.
So that's okay.
Okay.
You have a wonderful day, Barbara.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Siebel, and if you want to call in and chat with me like Barbara did, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number. Or for Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Hey, we've got a lineup for you this week that is really something. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Tim O'Brien. He's with Ripley's Believe It or Not. What a guy. Oh, they have a new book out. It is incredible, as Ripley's always is. That was one of my favorite things to always read and study. In fact, I have in my library a collection of small books, that paperback books, and they are just so much fun to go through because Ripley did so much research bringing facts of history and oddities to the public eye. It was just absolutely awesome, and I just love to even go through them today because there's so much unique information in there. Well, we're going to be talking about that tomorrow with Tim O'Brien, and then my guest that had been scheduled on Wednesday, that was Dorothy Berninger. We're going to be talking with her the following week, in fact, the day before Thanksgiving. So we have that open space, and I am going to have on Neil Maloney. This is a man that has written a book called Renaissance Cop. Now, I don't often interview people that do fictitious work. I usually am dealing with nonfiction. But this is fiction about police work that has so much truth in it. It is amazing. So Neil Maloney is going to be my guest on Wednesday. And then we're going to be talking with Marta Hyatt, Remembrances of Times Past. This is all about nostalgia, going down memory lane into different periods of time. Lots of fun. And then Leo Pearlstein, one of my favorite people, is going to be with us on Friday. We're going to be talking turkey. Yes. This man has recipes, cookbooks. I mean, he is just a doll. And he's been involved with PR for years. And there's just so many fun stories that he has to share. So we've got a dynamic lineup this week. I know you'll have a good time if you join us. Now, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. So here are our telephone numbers. If you want to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. 3222. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Arctic, or I'll talk to you, whatever works. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We're going to come back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I understand we have a caller on the line waiting. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Okay. And your first name or initial there?
Rebecca.
Okay. Now, Rebecca, I want you to be consistent with learning new software programs. Now, I'm fascinated because it looks like you're interested in genealogy. You make a good detective. You are not hesitant to dig and burrow for information. You have a lot of patience with this, and I think it's going to serve you well. I really feel as if you are going through a major transitional period here, but it's as if you're making it okay that it's happening in the way that it's happening. Your life is a good life. It's not a bad life at all. And I think that what you're going to discover is that you're going to come to a point, probably around, mid-2008, where you're going to say to yourself, it's time for me to make some changes, and I've done enough of the investigating and the checking. Now I just want to go ahead and do it. And I would say that's great, but you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what I mean by that is, if you want to start off gradually with something to make sure that you work out all of the little particulars that you need to know about, that's a good way to go.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
But don't give up your day job.
Okay.
And I think if you can make that comfortably satisfying for yourself and get excited about what you're doing part-time or what you're evolving into, then when you're ready to make the big jump, which wouldn't surprise me if it would be a year from now,
okay,
that's fine. Don't,
okay.
You know, just go with what you know is the right flow for you.
Okay.
What did you want to ask me about today?
Well, what I want to ask you about is for the past several years, well, I've been divorced now 4 years, and for the past 4 years, I've been trying to make friends and, you know, people to hang out with and do things with, and it has just not worked out. You know, people say they want to do something, and they're always busy, or we don't have the same interests. And I was just wondering if you see that coming to an end anytime soon.
Well, I think, first of all, you're trying too hard.
Okay.
And secondly, I want you to be more spontaneous.
Okay.
I would like to see you consider maybe, let's say you loved to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say go ahead and join a travel club. Though
okay.
you have friends around you, they're not lying to you when they're saying they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that you have not dovetailed with people of compatible interests.
Okay.
You have some wonderful people that are around you that have their own agendas, and that's not good or bad.
Right, right.
And so you, what you need to do is say, hey, it's okay. I'm going to go a different way and manner. And if you have like a potluck at your house, you know, once every 6 months or something like this, that's a great way to keep interacting with people. I think you're trying too hard. I think you need to just have a good time at whatever you do and then know that you're going to be meeting some new people.
Okay.
And that is going to be happening fairly quickly.
Okay.
You've got a number of interests, and I would just say if you wanted to become one of those people that travel down to the Amazon once a year, great. Join a Smithsonian Club or something like that. Go do it.
Okay.
And
okay.
You're going to meet all kinds of people that are going to want to spend time with you. Again, what has happened is you're trying to figure it out. Forget
okay.
that nonsense. Just do it.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds great. I just wanted some reassurance on that.
You're doing well. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Donna.
You are welcome, Rebecca.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. If you're in Canada, we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, when we think everybody's got their own landlines established, you know, when space travel started, all of a sudden it's who owns space? Well, the truth is nobody really ever owns space, but people like to think they do. Well, guess what? We have got a modern-day land grab. Try saying that fast 10 times. We've got a modern-day land grab that's going to be coming on, and I'll tell you more about it after I talk to this caller. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey, dear?
Wayne, New Jersey.
And your first name or initial?
My first name is Elaine.
All right, now, Elaine, as I am watching you, I think you have to stop beating up on yourself. My goodness, you're hard on you. And you have a tendency, hon, to be so critical. I think that somewhere along in your life, you have encountered individuals that say if something's not perfect, it's just not right. And you need to be okay with the imperfections in life. You need to be okay with the fact that things aren't always going to be on time. They're not always going to be the absolute tops of what you want. It's good to aim for the best, but make it okay when it's not necessarily going to be that way and move on. You have got a big, big chasm that you have to cross over. And I think a lot of it has to do with old belief systems. I want to use the term indoctrination, which all of us go through on one level or another. And you have been doing a lot of thinking and saying, something doesn't feel right anymore. My thinking is changing, and I'm uncomfortable with it. I just don't know what to do about it. And what has happened is that you've gotten stuck in a spot where you're trying to make old beliefs fit new situations. And the old adage, you can't put new wine into old wineskins, really is true. You're not going to be able to do things the way they've been done in the past with the old belief systems and move on. It's not going to happen. So you need to know that you're crossing over into a new understanding and a new awareness. It may feel a little uncomfortable, but once you try it on, you're going to find it fits you beautifully. And the old stuff, the old way of thinking, isn't. And you're going to change a lot of your preconceived beliefs. Now, I know we're running out of time, hon. Do you have a question for me quickly?
Yes. Are you able to contact the other side?
I get information periodically. Yes, sometimes I can.
Okay. I'd like to know if my mother's trying to reach me with any messages.
No, I'm not picking up anything on that at all at this point. Not at all. I would say, with your mother, what I would recommend that you realize is that your mother isn't going to be around you all the time, and that there will be ways that she will communicate with you when she wants to. And your mom, as I'm perceiving her, is just an extremely happy person and is really, really doing well. So I don't see her around you all the time.
But she's extremely happy, and she's doing well?
Oh, she's doing beautifully.
Oh, well, that makes me feel wonderful.
She's just doing beautifully. I'm looking at a young face, brown hair. I just see this wonderfully glowing look on her. Her eyes are just big and open, and she's got these wonderful lines, smile lines around her face. I just think she's just doing fabulously.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon. I have to go. I'm out of time.
Okay,
thank you. My goodness, time goes by so quickly when you're having fun. Well, I'll have to tell you about the modern-day land grab tomorrow, won't I? This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day. And, hey, make a date to kiss a dolphin. It could change your life. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.